Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, December 15th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
Man, James, you sound like Wolfman Jack over there with the deep baritone. What's going on? Are you sick? Or are you just feeling really, I don't know what the right word is, dark and mysterious tonight?
For Christmas, my kids got me sick.
Yeah. Damn kids. I thought you were going, you know, like the mysterious man of mystery in the radio. No, nothing.
No, I wish I sounded like this all the time, but I don't.
Right.
I usually sound like Tom Cruise. You know?
And you look like him, too. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm very often confused with Rob Lowe and Tom Cruise. Yes.
Makes sense. Total sense. All right.
Okay, what's up in the show and casting news?
Well, we had quite a few things. We normally don't start with show and casting news, but really the biggest news of the day was in different shows talking about their cast, either original cast or new casts. And really the biggest news of the day, James, as is often the case, comes from the Richard Rodgers Theater, where Hamilton is still reigning supreme. They released a slew of different principals that will be joining the show at different times over the next few months. So it's not really all at once like we've seen with other shows kind of replacing their casts. But first, we're going to be seeing Alicia Deslereau, who will be taking over the roles as both Peggy Schuyler and Mariah Reynolds on December 16th. That is tomorrow, obviously. She's an original cast member who has covered different roles in the past, different Schuyler sisters and all that stuff. So she will be taking over the full-time dual-track role tomorrow from Jasmine Cephas-Jones, who we talked about last week, who finally departed the show after a couple years in those roles. Also making his Broadway debut as Hercules Mulligan and James Madison on January 6th will be J. Quinto Johnson. He will be taking over after original cast member Okarite Anatawan plays his final performance on December 24th. Also beginning performances as George Washington on January 10th will be Brian Terrell Clark. Current cast member Nicholas Christopher will play his final performances on January 8th before he heads over to take on the role of John in the Miss Saigon revival. Then we'll be seeing Anthony Lee Medina, as he will be making his Broadway debut as John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton sometime in March. The date isn't exactly set yet. He'll be taking over for current cast member Jordan Fisher, who ends his run on March 5th. Now, those are all well and good. Congratulations to all those folks. That's very exciting for them to get to be a part of the biggest show on Broadway. But, James, I think it's fair to say that the biggest news out of this entire casting press release is that former Saturday Night Live cast member Taron Killam will make his Broadway debut as King George on January 17th after current King George III, the fifth, Rory O'Malley, will play his final performance on January 15th. I think I got that line of succession, right? I'm not 100% sure, so someone can correct me. Because here's the thing, Groff left and came back, so I don't know if he's the you know, I don't know where he fits. Is he just the second, or is he the second and the fourth? Like, how does Grover Cleveland count as in terms of the presidential stuff? So if someone, if Shane can let us know how that is officially demarcated in the Hamilton line of succession, I would appreciate that. But Killam kind of shocked the musical theater community when he played the demented dentist Oren Scrivello in the off-center concert of Little Shop of Horrors last year, which obviously starred Jake Gyllenhaal and Alan Green. And a lot of people at that point were really kind of saying, you know, he needs to do more musical theater roles. He was kind of unceremoniously let go from Saturday Night Live along with Jay Farrow after last season. And so this kind of makes a lot of sense. If he's going to get into musical theater stuff, this is a great role for him. Apparently he sounded great in Little Shop. He just finished writing, directing, and starring in a new movie that'll be coming out, which happened to co-star one Arnold Schwarzenegger. So he's got a lot going on for him. But James, this was kind of the thing that lit up the interwebs for the theater community today.
Well, you know how in the White House they have portraits of all the presidents lined up in a row? They should do that at the Rogers for all the King Georges.
I think they're great. If you remember, they always do that, like the passing of the garter ceremony with Brian D'Arcy James and Groff and Reynolds and Rory. I think we're going to have to see that again, because if anyone can make that even funnier than it already is, it's Taron Killam.
All right. So Manhattan Concert Productions announces a starry Crazy for You concert.
Yeah, before we get into that, you're kind of sounding like a demented, you know, mastermind villain when you're laughing. It's like, there you go. I like that. Anyway, yes, yesterday we also learned who would be starring in the previously announced Manhattan Concert Productions concert of the, quote, new Gershwin musical, Crazy for You. This will actually be the 25th anniversary concert of this show. It'll star Tony nominees Laura Osnes and Tony Yazbek as Polly Baker and Bobby Childs, respectively. The concert will take place on February 19th and will be helmed by original director Suzanne Stroman, who will be recreating her original choreography for the production. The stars will be backed by a chorus of 240 singers from across the United States and the enlarged forces of the New York City Chamber Orchestra. Fuller casting will be announced at a later date. Tickets are currently on sale, and the performance will take place in Lincoln Center's David Geffen Hall. James, this is the fifth one of these that the Manhattan Concert Productions has done. They've done Parade. They did a Secret Garden earlier this year to much acclaim. So this is, when you can get talent like this, this is a really cool thing. You and I have talked before about how much we both enjoy Crazy for You and wouldn't mind seeing it revived in some form or fashion. It's such a fun show. It's so good. And the music, you know, the Gershwin music is always such great stuff. So obviously, Laura Osnes has other things to do later this spring with Bandstand coming to Broadway, but it'll be fun to see her do this role at least for one night.
We should talk to her.
All right. I am always up for talking to Miss Osnes. Yes, that would be wonderful.
All right. Atlantic sells out, then extends the band's visit.
Yeah, we knew that this show was going to be one of the hot tickets of the fall, early winter, and the entire run of the band's visit at the Atlantic Theater had sold out, so they did the natural thing and extended it an extra week. This is the musical about the Egyptian police band who goes into Israel, and their bus breaks down, and they're going to do a concert, and they kind of have to stay in this hotel. The book is by Itamar Moses, and the score is by David Yazbek, and it's directed by David Cromer. And the show is, as we've said before, led by Monk. I can't think of his name. Tony Shalhoub. As we've said before, the show is led by Tony Shalhoub, and he has other things to do this spring. He will be starring in Arthur Miller's The Price, so this can't extend too much longer because he's going to have to get to rehearsals of that. But as Michael Riedel has talked about, this is one that has Broadway aspirations, so we might be able to get to see him and his other castmates return to this role sometime in the future. The show is now going to be running through January 8th after it had already been extended to January 1st.
All right. Broadway stars are returning to the Motown tour.
Yeah. If you remember, I know a lot of people forget because it was literally done in the blink of an eye, but this past summer, Motown returned to Broadway after basically the entire touring cast transferred to what was going to be a sit-down production that was cut dramatically short. Well, yesterday they announced that the three main stars of that previous tour, Broadway sit-down, will be reprising their roles on a new tour that launches in luxurious Utica, New York on January 11th. Reprising their roles will be Chester Gregory as Barry Gordy, Allison Sims as Diana Ross, and Jaron Muse as Marvin Gaye. Obviously, it didn't get a whole lot of time here in New York, not here in New York, but up where you are in New York this past summer. But this is a show that everybody loves. I saw it down here when it was on tour in Orlando, and I thought it was so much fun. So I'm glad that this is going to be heading back out on the road so more people can see it.
All right. The television and movie theatrical news. I thought that we were going to lead with this one, but here we go.
Well, Taron Killam is, you know, he's kind of a big deal, so we led with that. But, yeah, James, you and I have talked a lot, both on this show and on This Week on Broadway, that Denzel Washington has made it a project of his to produce all 10 of August Wilson's shows in his series for television, for film, we originally thought that they were all going to be done on HBO. Obviously, that's not the case because Fences is being released to a lot of awards consideration and nominations coming up on Christmas Day. Well, yesesterday in a Q&A in London, Denzel Washington revealed that the next show that he is going to be turning into a screen property will be Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And it is already in the works. The show has already finished a script for the small screen, and it will be produced for adaptations by HBO. No word on who will star. Obviously, with Fences, Washington and his co-star Viola Davis both won Tonys in a previous Broadway revival. So I don't know if he's going to find maybe some people who have stage experience with Ma Rainey's show. I think there was a production that was just done recently, maybe somewhere in California with a couple big names, and I should know who that is, but I don't know who it is off the top of my head. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with the casting of this one. But this is a pretty big deal, James. And one of the things that Denzel Washington said is that even though a lot of people might not know August Wilson's plays, he thinks that they really are universal and connect with anyone despite their background or skin color or whatever. Denzel said, quote, "He writes specific characters, but the themes are universal. It could be anyone. He's just a brilliant writer, and there's something in his writing that touches the humanity in us and that we can relate to." So I think this is a great project and really opens up what people consider theater movies in a lot of ways, because this is something that's outside of what normally gets produced from the Broadway stage.
I tell you, I can't wait until 20 years from now we have a TBS Denzel Washington weekend.
Yeah, that's gonna be a heck of a DVD set too, just getting able to have those entire things and watch the entire cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Another person who will probably have a DVD set.
That's very true.
Lin-Manuel Miranda's animated musical Vivo. Is that this?
Yeah, sure. Vivo. Let's go. Vivo. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah,
set for a 2020 Sony release.
Yeah, this is a kind of an interesting story. If you remember, at one point, In the Heights was being prepped for a movie adaptation where Lin was going to star and all this stuff was going really, really well, and it was at Universal, and then all of a sudden, it stopped. That project has been picked up by the Weinstein Company, and John Chu is going to direct. Lin has said he will not star as Usnavi. But something similar also happened with another project that Lin had worked on for DreamWorks Animations back around that same time, and that is this new movie, Vivo. It took us a while to figure out how to pronounce Moana because we're dumb and uncultured, so we'll figure out this one too. But Lin had already written 11 songs for this before DreamWorks kind of just stopped production on it. Well, that has been picked up by Sony Pictures Animation and has been scheduled for a release in 2020. And interestingly enough, his In the Heights collaborator, who is currently working on this screenplay, Kiara Allegara-Hoodies, she's going to write the script for Vivo as well. So they are setting it for a December 18th, right around Christmas release in 2020. And this has been, something that he's really already done the work for, but I'm sure he'll collaborate with Hoodies again and kind of work on some stuff. But, these animated movies take a long time to make, but it's another thing just to put another feather in Lin's cap and have something to look forward to for all his fans.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I mean, he is just striking while the iron's hot, and that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an interesting story. It talks about let me find this full description because I don't want to screw it up too much. The tale focuses on a capuchin monkey with a thirst for adventure. I don't know what that means. And a passion for music that makes a treacherous passage from Havana to Miami to fulfill his destiny. That seems, as goofy as that sounds perfect for a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie. I'm really excited about this one, especially after how much I loved Moana.
All right. Alex Timbers in talks to lead Disney's Cruella, starring Emma Stone.
Yeah, this was something we've kind of known about them doing an origin story for Cruella de Vil for a while, and the rumors had always been that Emma Stone was going to lead it. The interesting part for me is this, that Alex Timbers is going to direct it. He has a long history with the Disney company, as they were producers on one of his first Broadway hits, Peter and the Starcatcher. But if you remember, this past summer, he was fairly unceremoniously let go from the Broadway-bound stage adaptation of Frozen, but it looks like he is staying part of the Mouse House extended family, at least on the film side, as he will be directing this background story of Cruella de Vil from the 101 Dalmatians franchise. They do expect to begin working on production with a recent script penned by Broadway's own Jez Butterworth early next year. It is going to be produced by Andrew Gunn and Mark Platt, who have obviously their hands in a lot of theatrical-based and theatrical-related products on the big screen. So this is cool. I've said I didn't love La La Land as much as I would have liked to, but there is one person that I do love tremendously, and that is Emma Stone. And so this is cool. I would love to see her play a bad guy.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really good. And I'm glad to see Alex and back together with Disney, and that we knew that there was a lot of talk right there, and it was just not the right fit, but you never know how those things are going to fall out. So I'm glad that they are back together.
Absolutely.
CMT announces a premiere date for Million Dollar Quartet series.
Yeah, we've talked about this one as well, that it's they're doing a TV series based off of not only the musical Million Dollar Quartet, but the idea as well is a limited 8-part scripted series. It was originally known as Million Dollar Quartet. They have changed it to be named Sun Records, which is obviously the Sam Phillips record company where this Million Dollar Quartet event actually happened. And ironically enough, it was the 60th anniversary of the Million Dollar Quartet recording sessions on December 4th. And yesterday they announced the series premiere date for February 23rd at 10 p.m. The series will star Chad Michael Murray of One Tree Hill and Agent Carter fame as Sam Phillips. And Keir O'Donnell will play Dewey Phillips. There's a bunch of names that I don't think a lot of people will know, but have some both screen and music cred as well. So that's really exciting. And in another CMT thing, the fifth series of kind of musical TV country music stuff, Nashville, will debut tomorrow night on CMT. They're doing a kind of a sneak peek of the first episode after the series moved from ABC to CMT. In the past, there has been a ton of Broadway folks from Will Chase to Laura Benanti and others who have been a part of that series. I don't know what it'll be like now that it's on CMT, but that is something to keep an eye out for if you've been following that show when it was on the terrestrial networks before it moved to cable.
For folks not so much following the acronym, CMT stands for...
Oh, Country Music Television. I apologize. It's one of those things where, like, MTV used to be music television, yeah, and just shortened it to, you know, HBO is the home box office, you know, network. But it's just CMT now. They don't even use the Country Music Television acronym.
It's like Hojo's or FedEx.
Sure.
All right. The Village Voice, local weekly newspaper in New York, now an online presence, has done a profile of Christian Anderson Lopez.
Yeah, this was a great article, and a hat tip over to our friends over at Broadway Briefing, because I didn't see this until it was part of their mailing yesterday. And it is a really nice look at Kristen Anderson Lopez and her career. You know, so often because her husband Bobby kind of became the bigger name of the couple earlier on with Avenue Q and then Book of Mormon, and then they had the huge success of Frozen together. A lot of people just kind of think of it as Bobby and Kristen Anderson Lopez. They don't think of it as Bobby Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. So this is really nice to see an article about her where Bobby is mentioned occasionally, just kind of talking about what a great writer she is. But it's a really cool profile of her, and it talks about her writing process, how she works, how In Transit, her current Broadway show, it kind of came to be. But the thing that really is the underlying message of this whole thing is how she wants to make heroines in musical theater or movies or whatever she's working on weird and different and atypical from just the pretty, sexy, nice, you know, leading ladies. She wants to do something different. And to that point, one of the quotes that I loved from this article from Alexis Solosky was, quote, "That's why Frozen's Anna sings, don't know if I'm elated or gassy, perhaps the first Disney princess to discuss her GI tract. So I literally laughed out loud when I read that. But it's a really nice article, and it talks a little bit about her, how her and Bobby worked together, and how she met some of her collaborators for In Transit, and some of the other things she's looking to do in the future. It talks about Christian and Bobby's other musical Up Here that had its out-of-town tryout starring Betsy Wolfe in California last year, and how it didn't transfer as immediately as they wanted, so they're reworking it. It's a really nice article, and I'm really excited to see her, you know, kind of become her own person and not just, you know, Bobby's wife and or writing partner.
For those of our listeners out there that don't know what a GI track, no, anyway. So,
I mean, you know, I'm not young, but I'm not old enough to have to worry about GI track problems at this time, but I still know what it is.
So Kristen Anderson Lopez, just an amazing talent, and unbelievable that the two of those talented people found each other. So it's exciting, and this is a really good article. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes over at broaderradio.com if you want to take a look at it yourself and read the article. All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is Patrick Page.
I was going to say something about trying to maybe get James Earl Jones to do your outro.
This is CNN.
CNN.
This is James Marino, BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for spending some of your Thursday with us, and we'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow.